Welcome back to the No Panic Zone. Good to have you here on a Tuesday. By the way, the public health numbers that are available for you to see come from places like New York, Florida, California, Michigan, New Jersey. Florida's among the best when it comes to releasing their numbers. They have transparency laws that actually work. And so you can get your hands on all sorts of public health numbers, and you can see that the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, is right about the numbers going down. When it comes to per capita illness, America is second only to Germany. In fact, two countries, Austria and Denmark, are opening up their countries right now, going back to normal, and their per capita death rate is higher than the United States, as is every country. China comes in lower, but we don't believe their numbers, quite frankly, unless they had a lot of hydroxychloroquine there. Maybe that's what turned the corner. Rick Manning is joining me, the president of Americans for Limited Government. He's hiding in his Maryland basement, I believe. Rick, welcome to it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Hope all's well out in the great middle that all of us on the coast don't believe exists.
It does exist. Yeah, right here in Michigan. We're having a tough time here. Number three in total cases and fatalities thus far, most of which is centered in Detroit. I don't know how we end up with so many cases there. We'll look back and we will figure it out. But we're getting a handle on it. In fact, in the last 5 days, 4 out of 5 days, the increase in cases was about 1,500, very close. So it almost feels like the number of new cases might be flattening. We've got, almost 2 million people tested around the country. And so you look at what's going on, and at the last guest I had here, hysterical about how it's been this horrible tragedy and disaster. I'd say based on the circumstance of the United States being a free country where we don't weld people's doors shut, Rick, we have not done all that badly.
Well, and also we've allowed individual states to make their individual decisions based on the circumstances.
As they should.
The public health control freaks want the president to lock down Wyoming, and they want him to lock down Grand Rapids the same way he might lock down New York City. And it doesn't make any sense because the disease progresses differently out in different places in different waves. And so you have to let local, state and local officials do it. That's the way our Constitution is designed. And I know a lot of those people don't like the way our Constitution is designed, but that's the way it is. And we allow the people at the local level to make decisions based upon what's happening at the local level. And that's the right way to do it. The president can issue guidelines about what they see as national trends. But ultimately, it's the governors, it's the local officials who have to make the real tough decisions. And the federal government can support them with supplies and other things to help them implement those decisions.
Well, and there you go. And we have to have real numbers. And here's the thing that I was trying to point out here earlier in the program. No matter what model you look at, no matter how you slice these numbers, at one point we were told 2.2 million Americans would die. And then it was 100,000 to 240,000. Now it's 81,000. And now a newer model says 40,000 and maybe not that many. And so we shut the entire economy down and put 10 million, maybe 20 million, maybe more out of work, creating problems with domestic violence, alcoholism, drug abuse, and suicide. So at what cost do you shut down the entire country is my real question.
I think it's the exact right question. That's why I've been collecting video stories from small businesses who are being destroyed by this. You know, small business is the backbone of America. And the fact is that the destruction of our main street is happening right now. Small businesses don't have years worth of inventory, years worth of dollars in the back, kind of get them through this. What they have is revenue. They're revenue dependent, and with no revenues, they die. And with half the people in this country are employed by small businesses, and if those small businesses don't reopen when this economy reopens, then nobody's gonna have any place to go back to work too. And that's when you have a depression. And that's why it's so important we get the economy going again. And the states look at it on a local level and say, it doesn't make sense here. It does make sense to keep it a little tight right here, because states have the better idea of what's happening at their individual levels. I don't want the federal government deciding by census tract who should be open and who should not be open. That's the wrong approach.
Yeah. And no question about that. And it's time to consider how we pivot. And obviously, you open up New York City, You open New York City in a different way than you would open Michigan's Upper Peninsula or Wyoming, as you point out, where you have a density of population far different, you know, a sparse population across much of the state. Why would you prevent a rancher from going into the local feed store? Why would you prevent, you know, a farmer from doing something? Why would you prevent a school teacher from holding class in North Dakota? The answer is you wouldn't. You wouldn't because it's disruptive. It's not good for the kids and the chance of those people becoming ill. Now, you could prevent travel in and out of the state. You could say we don't want people coming in from New York. I understand all that. But you have to be sensible.
Yeah, that's and that's exactly right. People in the rural areas are engaged in social distancing every day. That's their life. So it isn't like they're cramming themselves into tubes to transport hundreds of thousands of people from point A to point B on a daily basis with those kind of contacts, which is the subway system in New York.
Sure.
So it isn't a real surprise why the subway system in New York created a massive problem in New York. It was the communications, the disease communications laboratory. But, you know, one of the things that, Steve, that bothers me and really is concerning is we have to take on these guys and say, listen, the model, the private health model has worked. The private health model is working. It's where we're getting the cures. It's where we're getting the innovations. It's where we're getting the same-day testing, the actual testing in 15 to 20 minutes. It's where we're getting those kind of things is because of private sector innovation. And one of the things Nancy Pelosi is going to push for in the next stimulus bill, the fourth one that costs us another $1 trillion, the thing she's going to push for is surprise medical billing. She's going to want to have a system that's one size fits all pricing.
Right.
On
of course she
medicine.
Does. But and the big prize.
And that will penalize.
Yeah, the big prize, Rick, and you'll like this, and if you haven't, you know this, because Pelosi put it out there already, and the governor of Michigan's also angling toward it. The big prize is mail-in ballots. That's the big prize for Democrats in this crisis. It has nothing to do with public health. It has nothing to do with testing. It has nothing to do with morbidity or mortality. It has to do only with mail-in ballots. That's what this whole thing is about now. You watch.
Well, you know, the key to stopping the mail-in ballots in the Democrats is spelled mail, M-A-L-E, and they'll assume that everybody else is disqualified. But it's a, but you know, you get down to it. That's what exactly what they're pushing for. They're trying to take electoral control because they know in places like California, cheating is easy because there's no IDs. There's no, they just mail ballots to places and anybody
right.
can fill them out. And it is, in fact, the least secure system available. And it is, while it does supposedly increase participation, it tends to increase participation amongst those who are willing to vote multiple times with multiple ballots from vulnerable populations who are in places like.
And let's be honest, you can buy the ballots as well. Hey, I'll give you a sandwich. Fill this out. Hey, you want a little bit of money? Fill this out. And so on and so forth. Anyhow, Rick, I got to leave it there. Rick Manning.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate you being here, Rick. We'll talk again soon. Hopefully, you'll be out in the sunshine and in the fresh air by then. Take care of yourself. There you have it. Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. What is this new normal we're finding ourselves with here? You got to keep track of it. Don't lose the DTE Common Sense Hotline. Write it down on the dust on your table. You know, you've got some spare time. You could dust a little bit. 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. You're in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gerber Show.
Roxor, Beast of a Sales event is here right now. Get $1,250 off of a 2019 Roxor and an extra year of warranty. That's an industry-leading 3 years of warranty. But then what else would you expect from a side-by-side unlike any other? Roxor is hand-assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. Plus, with a truck-like beltless transmission, you can expect less downtime and more off-road time. Hurry, the Roxor Beast of a Sales event is only for a limited time.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Attention songwriters, beginner or pro. NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter meetings are held every second Saturday of the month from 1 to 4 p.m. at the MSU Community Music School. You can learn more about the NSAI by visiting www.nashvillesongwriters.com or visit the NSAI Mid-Michigan chapter Facebook page to contact the chapter coordinator online.